Father, we ask you receive, grant to everyone sound of my voice, hear this, grant to them inside wisdom, fresh revelation, fresh application, that we'll behold Christ as he beholds us in him, that everyone here will walk precisely in your purpose and plans for our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Leadings and perception. This is the third week or fourth? Fourth. Okay. So that means I don't round up today, I round up next week for now. On this. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For there presupposes that it's a statement in the midst of statements. Because he had told you from verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Then verse 6, those who mind the things of the Spirit. Then to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Then if any has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead, as 11:10 says, Christ in you the Spirit is life because of righteousness. 13 says, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, so everything he highlighted, from 2 to 13. Because being led, everything there is described as being led. Law of the Spirit of life that has made us free, for example. Then he talks about minding things of the Spirit, do that of the Spirit or after the Spirit. Then being spiritually minded. Then not being in the flesh but in the Spirit, it shall be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any has the Spirit of Christ, is none of you. Then 11, if Christ is in you, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Sorry, 10. 11, if he, the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, the Spirit that dwells in you. So 13, then 14. So all that is described with the word ago, which is to bear, to carry, or to be responsible for the activities. So Romans 8:14 is not just talking about direction, we're talking about being responsible. Ago means, for example, if I take up, I don't know if you have ever taken up a responsibility before, and they say, well, come and assume this responsibility. Then when you take up that responsibility, that's the word ago. That is, you are now responsible for that office. So when it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that is, the Spirit of God is now responsible for the Christian life from verse 2 to verse 13. I hope that's clear. Is that clear? Okay. So the next verse, which is verse 6, 15. Verse 15, I thought I want to read 15 first, before I go to 16. Okay, let me read 16 first. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, I thought we've done some study on that, but let me just highlight something. He said the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, and the word bear witness with, is just one single word, somaturio. Just two words, S-U-M, som. The material where you have Acts 1:8, you shall be witnesses of me. Material, A-M-A-T-U-R-E-O. It means to speak out an evidence. So when it says some, it means together with. We'll come to that. Then it says, you find the same word in Romans 2:15 and Romans 9:1. We've been there before, I'm just going over it. So when it says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Now, what spirit? If you, he says the spirit of life which is in Christ Jesus, that's the spirit. Christ being you, Romans 8:10. If any has not the spirit of Christ, is none of these. So when you see the is to particularize or to be specific or to summarize a subject that already been in discussion. So when he says in verse 14, he now calls it the Spirit of God. So it says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. The spirit of bondage again, which is the word palin, again. Now, in the contextual usage of the word palin, there, P-A-L-I-N, it can be like this. It can say further. It's not like, it's like an advancement. That is, we have not received the spirit of bondage further. So from the context, it indicates that there was a presence of that spirit before now. So he's saying we have not received the spirit of bondage further to fear. But we have received the spirit of adoption. Adoption there is again two words. Huthesia. Many of you know the word huis, which is where you have the word sons. A son is one who assumes all that belongs to the father. Okay? So he's huis, which people call mature son, but that's not really what it means. So, huis, which is, then the second word is titemi, T-I-T-H-E-M-I. That's where you have the word, because when you put it together, it won't sound that way. Is euthesia. Now, titemi means to place us, to put us, to position us. You find the word in Romans 8:23, Romans 8:19. So it means to place us. So we have received, pay attention to this, the spirit of being seen, of being known as sons. That's the word spirit of adoption. As sons. Now before we look at where, put your hands there, let's quickly check two texts of scripture. The first one will be Ephesians 1:5, which says, having predestined us or predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Then, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5, I want us to read that together. Galatians chapter 4 verse 5. Are you there? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. Can we read it together? To redeem them that were under the law. Now notice that it's almost the same verbiage as Romans 8:15. The spirit of bondage again to fear is the law. So let's go further. Let's take it one more time. That we might receive the adoption of sons. Verse 6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba Father. I think it's substantially the same thing, right? Alright? Okay. So the spirit of his son is the spirit of adoption. So now notice very well, the spirit of his son, I want you to be pay attention to what I'm saying here. One of the main challenges I find with many listeners today or readers is I call them contemptuous reader, or sorry, impetuous reader. They are not listening. I remember I was saying this earlier or yesterday, that I ought to preach from the Old Testament. I put that on my Facebook one. I said, notice that no believer in the Old Testament had his faults repeated in the epistles. And some guy just come, you know, like ravaging, just noisemakers. What about this verse? Just common sense, so the verse you quoted were not believers. I mean, if you lost that phrase, believers in that post, you've lost everything I was saying. So it's good to pay attention. Are you there? The way I study the Bible when I'm listening or reading is as though I'm sitting for an examination. Because that's like what it is. Don't be in a hurry. Just listen. Listen very well. Okay? So when I say listen to this, it's important. When I say the spirit of the Son, in your mind you can say, I already know it. That's the attitude of somebody who doesn't want to know anything. Don't think like that. Now, He has sent the Spirit of His Son. I have analyzed the word for you, the word led by the Spirit. Now, look at where we came from. I posted this from 16, where it says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. Son material, the word son material, the word son, is to collaborate or to say to jointly do something or use the word together. So now notice that means when we say the spirit of adoption, spirit of sons, and the Spirit of God, they are together. You are going to see the same evidence. That is, one will not differ from the other. It's the same evidence. There's not more evidence in the Spirit of God than it is in the Spirit of the Son. So, bears witness already shows you semblance of idea. That is the same thing. That we are, that's why it says that we are the children of God. So it uses two words, spirit of adoption in 15, spirit of sons. Then it says children in 16. Don't mind those who try to cause confusion out of that. The word children is the word technon, that is to be born of, or seed, which shows you that the same life that is in the Father is in the offspring. That's the essence of using the word technon. When you use horios, it's to show that the person has assumed all the Father has. So that's what it means. It doesn't mean that one is mature. It's not the word horios is not used for maturity at all. All that is clear. Is that okay? So the spirit of His Son into our heart. So, it's the Spirit of the sons, and it's the Spirit of God. That's just what it means. Bears witness with our spirit. Notice it didn't say our spirits. Our spirit. We are the children of God. So, everyone has the same spirit. God and His children. Everyone. That's the essence of that. So, the first thing you must draw out of Romans 8:14 to 16 is that it's the same spirit. That's the essence of what he's saying. So, I must therefore know the spirit is my spirit. So that's I must know that. And how do I recognize my spirit? How? How do I recognize my spirit? How do I find out my spirit? Because it says with our spirit, which is identification, that shows that all believers are identified in the same spirit. So if that's the point, how do I identify my spirit? How? Have you discovered that, except by activity, the believer in the spirit is never identified with a first person pronoun. Except by activity. That is, for example, when Paul says, if I pray with the spirit, my spirit prays. If I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. There it talks about an activity, because he has said, if I pray. He didn't say if we pray. So that's why I use the word my spirit. My spirit bears witness with me. That's because of an activity he's taking. Not that he has a unique spirit to every other believer. No. If you now go further, for example, when Paul said that, then verse 15 is that, and I says, how is it then? I will pray with, notice it doesn't say my again. It says with the spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding also. So, there is no personal spirit. You understand? It's this spirit. It's this spirit that is now our spirit, or my spirit, when I'm talking about an activity. I hope that's clear. There was one time somebody was saying he saw a vision and saw one brother like that, that he saw that his spirit was bending. And I said, that means your own too is bending. So why do I say that? It's because it's this spirit. What he has is the spirit of sons. So if the spirit of sons is bending, he's bending all of us. Of course, the guy probably said, return to sender. But I look at this. You know your spirit. How do I know? So it's not difficult. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:9. For as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the mind of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his spirit. Of course, not to go further, we all know he's talking about the revelation of the scriptures in the epistles. So, how I know my spirit is by recognizing the words of the spirit in the epistles. So when I read the epistles, I am doing a recognition, a voice, emotion, recognition of who I am. I'll know, for example, that my spirit does not respond in fear, because I know that that's not the motion in the epistles. So I recognize that. I recognize my spirit does not respond in bitterness, because that's not the motion of my spirit. How do I know? Because my spirit instructs. When Paul was writing the epistles, he was writing with the spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? Just like Peter, they were writing with the Spirit. Which Spirit? Our Spirit. Is that clear? So when I read the epistles, I'm only doing a recognition work. I'm looking at it. Okay, this is my Spirit. So I can say that's my Spirit in the epistle, because I will see the actions, the activities, and the motions of this Spirit, which is my Spirit, in the epistle. Am I making sense? When Jesus in John 16, 12 to 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you to all of the truth. Of course, he was talking about the epistles in that context, and then that Spirit that guides into all truth, Romans 8:16 says, bears witness with our spirit. That means it has the same evidence. So, for example, when I read Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. Is it my spirit that walk in the Spirit? No. The Spirit there is my spirit, or our spirit, or the Spirit. So the walk is my spirit speaking to my mind. Last week I showed you something, don't forget, that the mind only receives information how? By what it hears or sees. Are you following? That is the reason why we have the written word. The written word came from this spirit, which is our, is what? Come on. The written word came from this spirit, which is our. So, whatever instructions are in the written word are for where? My mind. Because my mind can only receive information from what it can see or
fear.
Is that clear? Is that clear? I has not seen, he has not heard, neither has it entered into where? Okay, so how does something enter into the mind of man? By seeing and by... Is that simple enough? Okay, so when I read, walk in the Spirit, I'm referring to my understanding. That is, my mind, my thoughts, should what? Walk in the Spirit. Is that okay? It's not my spirit walking in the Spirit. That means my spirit is not born again. Because my spirit is the same. Okay? When I hear, walk in love. Where is that love? That love is in the Spirit. So my thinking adjusts to it, and then my conduct. So I'm reading, I think I taught this one where. This, what separates the soul from the spirit? Huh? Yeah, this is a separate, I taught it more exhaustively in separating the soul from the spirit. You know, we've always, said the man is his spirit, has his soul lived in the body and all that. And we defined it very well that's a wrong way of using the word soul. So we did a study from the Old Testament to the epistles, four gospels. I would do a separation of, I discovered that the spirit is in the soul. Is that okay? Just go and get the material. I don't know if you did not look at it. You didn't want to study because it's not a catchy title. Like things like unraveling the mystery. You know, back then, there's something that people will always go after. Unraveling the mystery of death. Ah! We went after that one. Another one. Why troubled the woman? Catchy title. Well, now what we have in Christ. They don't even look at it. It's not attractive. Somebody was going to do this series one time. Or redemption reality. So he said if he puts our redemption in Christ, who won't buy it? So he's going to retire to this. So what are you going to put there? Your Goliath shall fall. And people rushed it. And they got in there, there was nothing about Goliath there. Your Goliath shall fall. But I just like giving simple titles so that it makes it easy. The spirit to the mind. So when you read the epistles, you have the spirit to the mind. So how do I know my spirit or the spirit? I know my spirit by knowing the spirit, okay? By studying the epistles. You know, I think what it was, I was telling you that when the Bible says the spirit that which was in them did signify. That is not the spirit of sons. Though it's the spirit of God, but not the spirit of sons. Is that okay? That's another day. Don't rush yourself. Don't go across katakata. What are people? They won't listen. They won't pay attention to listen. They will go ahead. Let me tell you my story. Years ago, I think it was 1989. Just a few years ago. I went to a cousin's house, was it 1990? And he said they were going to teach us swimming on a Monday. They had a swimming pool on a Monday. So the evening they promised they were going to teach us swimming, one of my cousins, because he had learned how to do that, just dug the pool, swam out, not that, loved me. I looked at that, what's the big deal? I didn't know just doing anything like this. Sure. So I think it was on the first side, I forgot, it was the day before. I just went there on my own. That all I'll just do is be doing like this. So you know I started from the shallow end of the pool. So it was very easy because at that point I was enjoying it and feeling cool. I knew God had a plan for my life. I'll tell you what, I went on my own. I didn't tell anybody. I just said, what's the big deal? If this person can do it. Because the guy's nickname is Eja. Imagine, and that's the person I wanted to. So I just noticed that I was going down. That's how I called it, Abu. I killed myself, I'm dead. I open and say, ah, there's no water. So a cousin of mine, today is in the UK now, he just said he saw something moving in the water. He just came on. I said, people are praying for me. Because nobody knew I was going there. I didn't tell anybody I was going to do it. I just told my mind that I will know how to swim before morning. A ticket to death. That's how he just, so something will just pull me out. That's how I came out. Of course, because we had both worked cartoons, so he was not pressing my, you know, for water and all that. But you know, the truth about that is that was silly. I said, I can do it myself. And people do it. Rather than listen, they're doing a series, you just say, I cost that. They just leave. And they destroy lives. Pay attention. Just relax. You don't even have to. It's only a child who wants to say what he has heard for the first time. The child. You don't even know what you have heard. So pay attention. You listen very well. Very, very well. And like I always say, pay attention to details. Don't be in a hurry. So when I said that, I said, I've been thinking about it. I never said that. You know, someone say, yeah, just confirm. Shut up, who is confirming? Just confirm what the Lord has been teaching me. Don't sit down somewhere. What? Confirming. Who is confirming what? Who do you think I am? Think I'm your account officer? Just sit down. It's just lack of, even if you have, just keep quiet. You are confirming. Everything that the Spirit of God is one. No, it's six. So, or seven, I'm going to say seven anyway. So, amen. Okay, so, the first thing is that you learn by reading what is written. The second way you know the Spirit, which is your Spirit, is during maturity. As you mature from experience. That's why Paul will send interrogations. Know ye not that you are? Of course, when I say you are, that are, you are, is the Spirit born again. Don't you know that you are? So it sends interrogations, which means with experience, you know. That's why it says, we know that we are past, I explained that on Sunday, right? We know that we are passed from death to life because we love the brethren. I said, not saying that when we love the brethren, we are passed from death to life. That when I begin to walk in love, I recognize. You see, I recognize that I am passed from death to life. So that we know is to recognize. To recognize. We recognize. So that means in maturity, I come to recognition, epignosko, or ginosko, sorry, not epignosis. Ginosko. Ginosko is that experiential knowledge I have. Oh! I'm not that haughty personality. So I come to recognize via experience that I have passed from death to life. Is that okay? I explained that on Sunday. I think what that says again. The vine, the husbandman, and the branch. Okay. So from experience. Now let's want to look at a few things. So you can't take away experience from guidance. I remember something Brother Hagin told Gloria Copeland years ago. That's a while back. Claire Copeland and Gloria Copeland. And they, there was this issue of, they were on television. And they had a lot of debts. So they were owing several millions of dollars. So they went to Brother Hagin. How come we are owing money? And, you know, we believe God told us to go on television. Brother Hagin now smiled and told them that, watch how this, and I love this way, I mean, Brother Hagin is quite a simple teacher, to watch how God deals with you. That you learn to walk with Him in your experience. Watch how He deals with you. That for Him, for example, He said He has observed that the way His mind picks up impressions from the Spirit is that things that will happen in 20 years time, He will know it now. So He has learned not to rush. Now sometimes that what happens to you is that you picked up the, something you know, because it's the Spirit. And the Spirit of the born again man is the Spirit of God. So you can be seeing things of 30 years and it looks like He's talking about yesterday. So He says, it's just watch how God deals with you. In other words, watch how your mind relates with the Spirit. And I think that was a very good counsel. And so they observed, it doesn't mean that God didn't ask you to do it. You know, sometimes it's just the way you perceive what you're saying. And that's what we're going to look at. Are you following what I'm saying? I use the example a lot. A whole lot. I use it a lot. You use that example. When I said, just like when you know what I'm going to say. Hallelujah. So look at this. Now, let's look at the whole covenant. We'll see, there's something about guidance I want you to observe. And that's why the believer, you know, I said there are two ways, by the written word and from experience. That is, from your maturity. The more you exercise your mind to walk in the Spirit, the more you will recognize the Spirit more precisely. Knowing this series or hearing this series is not as vital, just like the gifts of the Spirit. Leading of the Spirit is a practical thing. You can't practice righteousness. You can only practice consciousness. Because righteousness does not change. Whether you believe it or not, whether you think that you don't have it or not, it doesn't change the fact. If you like, swear that you don't have it. You are born again, you are righteous. If you like, cry, say, it's heresy. Don't worry, you are righteous. Do you understand? You can't lose your salvation. Don't send me to hell, you can't go. But you see, when it comes to the Spirit, it's something that you must practice. In fact, when it comes to the Spirit, it's something not like ministry. You don't learn ministry, diakonos, gross, go and preach. Until you start preaching, you go. For example, I was telling them, someone said, how can I study, I said, look, what you are listening to me say, I've probably been teaching it before you were born. Not born again. Born. That is, you are not even qualified for salvation. Born. So relax. You get it? Some things over time. You just, I was telling a pastor I preached for Sunday, I said, I just knew your subject when I was, You just knew this, I didn't know the thing. Now don't try it. Those are like my pastor. It's the Spirit of the Son. Okay, no problem. Go ahead. Yeah, no. Yeah, I just said, what's the thing? No problem. So, by experience, let's look at something I want you to observe. 1 Kings 17. Now, look something about Elijah here. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Look at specifics. Okay? Do this, do that, specifics. Some guys, all they hear is, turn eastward. And they go to Enugu State. Hide thyself by the brook, Cherith, that is before Jordan. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Notice that. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And then it says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. So he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. He was there for several days. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. You know, 3 square meals. It came to pass after a while. Notice, let's say verse 7 together. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Did you notice something? The brook dried up. Despite the fact that he was led there, a natural circumstance made it impossible, or maybe impossible, to continue that way. So you will see that there was a correlation between the ravens and that brook. When you hear the word command in the Hebrew, it's not a direct instruction. It's just like circumstances arranging themselves and God informing the man. So, somehow, in the natural, something happened. And then the brook dried up. You know, in the mind of a man, you would have thought if God leads you somewhere, it will be called everlasting water. That there will be nothing natural can happen again. But you see that it was just God had already made the earth in such a way that natural things were to work with natural laws. And that's how man will be fed and filled. So, in the natural, and somehow, this stuff, and you can say, well, God, did I hear, you know, only did I hear God? Did he ask me to start this business? So that's where you begin to doubt. A friend of mine doubted the call of God upon his life. He said, I'm a choir. You don't know the call yourself, I'm a choir. Is that a fellowship? Are there the fellowship? No, the fellowship became where two or three are gathered. It's part of the two. In my name. And they were good. Is it a fellowship of fellow boats or fellow canoe? Because this doesn't look like a ship. So, there was now one meeting he held. He had printed the poster. He said he heard from God. And he's a friend of mine. I mean, we grew up together. He was Kenneth Hagin. He was when we were younger. So he said, he put it up, nobody came. Nobody came. I've done before. Nobody came. And I just walked out. I prayed in tongues. I came back. And your picture is on the poster. Ministry. So, you know, and it didn't light up. Somebody just marriage. It could be anything. And the word of the Lord came to him. However, notice something. The next verse says, and the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise. Get thee to Zarephath. Notice. So, there are timelines for direction in certain instances. There are timelines. The key thing is that God was making provision available. And let me say this quickly. Whatever is in the control of man or in the control of nature will have lapses and will have its own peculiarities of natural circumstances. No matter how led you are in this country to do business, okay? You cannot get power supply from heaven. I hope I'm making sense. You know, that's it. And that's straightforward. You can't get power supply from heaven. You got to the level, people have started taking off clothes anywhere. You get it? You can't get power supply from heaven. I don't know, people now, they just go and stay in the eatery, just buy pure water and stay there. 2 hours. Bro, what are you doing here, man? I got bought something. So the thing is, there was a natural circumstance. And look at this. He says, a woman came and said, arise, get referred. That belongs to Zidon and draw there, for I have commanded, look at what I have commanded the widow woman there to sustain you. So there were different ways God worked at making supplies and provision. One of the key things was that Elijah was listening. That was the thing. He was listening. There are people. The minute they start a fellowship or a church and it begins to grow, they stop waiting on the Lord. They stop listening. They just stop. There are people, the minute they get married, and they begin to say, those of you who give testimony on wedding day, is as though the wedding has ended. The marriage has ended. Sister, brother, you are still going to hear. Say, thank God I heard from God. I have a man, a prince of princes, a lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay. He's a human being. The brook can dry up. Ha! It can backslide. Yes, so. So you have to keep listening. Don't say, I regret the day I met you. I'm down. I miss God. Because the brook dried up. So, to sustain you. So he went there. And you know the woman wasn't, the woman didn't see a vision. The woman just said, I pray thee a morsel of bread in thy hand. And as the Lord liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal, verse 12. And you know, she didn't say, you are welcome, God has told me. You know, she didn't say, this is it. Is it? No. But when Jesus was going to talk about the story, he said that God sent him to her. Unfortunately, people that like preaching seed sowing, they don't capture that reality here. Because the reality was this. When, look at this. It came to pass all those things that the son of the woman, verse 17, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore, there was no bread left in him. He died. What have I to do to thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remember and to slay my son? And then Elijah prayed. Took the child and prayed. And the Bible says, the child lived. Look at 24. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is truth. So, the purpose of God in this scene was actually verse 24. But, so when you are looking for money, it's a big part. But look at how, in listening to God, so in the unfortunate circumstance of the book, it didn't change anything. He did it. Elijah should have just stayed there and complained all through, like he did at the time in the vision of Jezebel. He heard from God. So he moved. And when he moved, he saw the woman, and he didn't stay there and say, you know what? We are going to start Barrel of Oil International Conference. You just lose it. By the time the child will die, you just help her get the mortuary. Because he has lost focus. So it's important that we keep discerning what the Spirit is saying. Hallelujah. There are programs we have done that means we just do it. So we're led to do this. Somebody say, I thought it was yearly. Did we ever tell you it was yearly? Somebody said, the first one was so successful. Calm down. You have to listen. Are you following what I'm saying? Now that looks like the Old Testament, okay? Okay, I know something here. So they have good. So when it comes to that direction, there will be fresh revelation and new experiences. Notice that Elijah had three different experiences. Fresh revelation, no revelation of scripture. As touching God's direction in your life, new experiences. Always note that. Look at Paul. Let's quickly run through Paul's experiences. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, verse 15. This was to Ananias. Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. Acts 9:15, now verse 16. For I will show you how great things He must suffer for my name's sake. Notice that. Acts 13, verse 2. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So somebody was added, Barnabas. Separate me for the work whereunto. This was Paul. Paul was already in ministry here. He was doing something in Acts 12 and Acts 11. Fresh revelation, fresh experiences. Look at Acts 16. One of the things Brother Hagin teaches is that, you must, as a believer, keep the spirit-filled life. You know, to follow God's plan. You don't, just like the Old Testament, you don't live on yesterday's manna. Like the Old Testament says, you know, and manna was typified God's word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, the word mouth of God in the Old Covenant refers to the prophets. So, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how they lead. And that today tallies with listening to God's direction in our spirit to all our daily activities, things we're involved in, and XYZ. So, it's important that we don't lose touch with a constant and consistent fellowship with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. It's very important. So you are not just talking about yesterday. When I was in primary school, I remember primary school. How old are you? So I have a master's degree. And you are remembering what God in primary school. So now nothing is going on. You record it. Don't be a joker now. For the work, look at that one. Acts 16. There was fresh revelation. And of course, sometimes we get fresh application of the same revelation. Now, verse 6. When they are throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden. Now, don't forget, they were sent to these places, but they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And they were come to Mysia. They said, "I saw to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." That is, didn't allow them. Fresh experience. Fresh experience. Then, verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Again, fresh revelation. So, in following God's plan, this is what I was talking about ministry a whole lot in this series. You should be open to fresh experiences. Fresh insights. I tell pastors this of our churches. I said, look, I don't know we don't have a general rule in how we pastor, except our doctrine and what we teach. I said, look, what do you have in your spirit? In the church you are pastoring? In that area, what do you have? What do you... You must know how to discern what God is saying for yourself. I can be here in Lagos. I don't know. What do you want to do? We sense we should do this. Go ahead. Do that. You must know that for yourself. So, look at that. In how many verses? Verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9. Very different experiences. Look at Acts 20:22. We're coming to that one. It's a very critical text. Now I go bound. Behold, Acts 20:22. Now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me. But the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Go to Acts 21. In the same life, in the same course of ministry, you find different instructions. Fresh revelation, fresh application. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying here? I'll tell you, there are some believers, they are just too logical. There is logic. If this, then this. Some are just too emotional. They think it's the Holy Ghost. As if people prophesy and they are crying. I tell you, the one church that I like, a lady, she knew what the other lady had done. She was not prophesying it out. I was Yoruba. And she was crying. She was really crying. That means she was really passionate. about the matter, but that was not the Holy Ghost. Some are emotional. Very, very emotional. So you must know, particularly if you are a pastor, you must know. I was telling our pastor this 2 weeks ago. I said, listen carefully what I'm going to say. When you enter strife and bitterness, and you enter and you are into anything of the flesh, you can never know what God is saying. Whether it's in a family or in a ministry. If it prompts you to pray, you will not know. Because it is your mind that works in the spirit. That is why you have to keep your mind away from impurities. Are you following what I'm saying? If it prompts you, you will not. There are some things that I don't want to say something because I don't know who is listening. Maybe, but maybe I should. There are some things that that person is fornication. And fornication is a sin. It always be a sin. It was a sin in the Old Testament before God's foot in the Acts of the Apostles and the Ephesians. But listen carefully. There was more emphasis, go read the Ephesians, on the love walk than any other conduct in the Ephesians. The love walk. Read Peter, read James, read all the apostles. There's something about bitterness and strife. That's what I tell our pastors. Never allow politics. I hate it. I can resign as your pastor over politics. I'll just give them the church. You can go. I can't do it. Somebody says something behind somebody. I don't want to hear it. You walk in the spirit. Because you can assume because you're a pastor, you cannot walk in the flesh. You will swim in it. Yeah, that. You have to guard your heart. You have to ensure that you're not using a church member to preach. You know that? And church members to us will assure that it's me he's preaching about. I told someone says, you are preaching about me. Say, two reasons why I cannot preach about you. Number one, you are too small. The Bible is so large that I cannot preach about you. Say number two, I don't want to make you popular. Okay? But you see, the thing is, you keep your heart, you won't hear. At that moment, you have a sense, an urge to pray for Tinu. You won't even, the name Tinu, when it comes, you're like, speak. Your caller will soon find out how fake she is. You know, that was in your mind. Sure. You know? And we think that if somebody gets into trouble, that is the person's case.
No.
Do you know that when we come to the presence of Christ, what we are going to be discussing are human beings. The judgment seat of Christ is how we handle people's lives. It's not how many cars you have, or how many visas are on your passport. You know? For people, they are traveled everywhere but heaven. Oh, you don't get that. Maybe hell too. But this is, it's about men. It's about what you do about this person. That is what you are going to be judged with. What do you do about that person? What do you do about this person? What do you do about that person? When you were prompted to pray, did you pray? Well, that's what it's about, though. Is that not what hairstyle? Were you black like Pastor Jakes? It's not about that. No. So you check it. You have to check it. If you are in a zone, a fellowship, you have responsibility for lives there. That's why somebody comes to you and says, I don't want to, the pastor says we should walk in love, I just want to say this. That sister, say come. Before the person lands, say let us pray for her. Say about what? About whatever you came with. Let's pray it in the spirit. So let me say, but you don't have to say it. We can get our prayer points by the spirit. But let me break it down. Don't worry, the Holy Ghost will take hold together with us against the infirmity. Hallelujah. Imagine if every member of our churches, if they do that, you know, but some people believe that because they can call Greek words, they can lie. Like I say, the Greek word of lying, they can backbite. No. It's not a license. Amen. The minute in a family, husband and wife, the minute you allow resentment
You cannot. That's why Paul said that your prayer be not hindered. Peter, sorry. That your prayer, it's not that your God will answer. That's not what he's saying. You will not pray. That's what he's saying. You will not even pray. You will not pray. And there's nobody that does not require the prayers of other believers. If Paul can say severally, the only person that never called for prayer was Jesus. And you should know why. But I dare say, if Jesus, pay attention, if Jesus came or he ministered around the church today, he will ask for prayer. Okay, let's go further. Acts 22 verse 18. Now, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. You know, these are different things. Different things. Make haste. Get out. They will not receive your testimony. Acts 22:21. Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so must you bear witness in Rome. These things happen. Acts 23:11. Okay, I've just quoted that. Acts 22:21. Depart, for I will send thee far ends of the Gentiles. You see, they were distinct instructions. Distinct. I told you before in one of the series that you will never have the full picture of God's plan for your life at any point. You will walk in it gradually. You will know it gradually, and you walk in it gradually. Just like Paul. There was no time he sat down, and all his years in ministry were before him. No, he had to walk with God. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? Now look at Acts 26. Verse 16 and 18. Rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which I have seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, Acts 26:18, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are testified by Christ Jesus' name. So, different things. Look at Acts 27. I'm going to this one now. Look at this one. So, gradually, before we go there, go to Acts 21. This is your first time. We'll be talking about prophecy, so I won't go over all that prophecy issue again. Acts 21:4. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit, pay attention, through the Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. They spoke by the gifts of the Spirit, utterance and revelation gifts, and they don't go to Jerusalem. Mark that, because I'm coming back there. Then verse 11. Agabus, thus said the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that holds this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So different things were coming to him. Let's go to Acts 27. Acts 27. Remember the first thing? 27, look at 23, 24. For there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that serve with thee. That means Paul had a responsibility over everyone that was in that ship. He hath given thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. He was playing the role. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Notice what he said. I believe God. You know, he can doubt that statement and they will not be in safety. I believe God. That means you have to believe that God is leading you.
There is faith to direction. You have to believe. You have to believe that God is leading you. Even when things are not going smoothly, you have to believe. You know, it took faith for you went to the brook. It doesn't make sense that when you get to the brook, cherry, rivers will feed you. You have to believe. Oh. Because you say, where is that in the Bible? Then you say, a widow. Nah. After someone has died of you, say, I commanded. You commanded it to a dried up. You have to believe. So Paul says, I believe God. So you must have faith in the witness of the Spirit of God. Now, quickly go to somewhere. 1 Timothy 1:18. Let me see what I said earlier. You can never have the total picture. Remember years back, but I told this story before. I sat down and I wrote all the everything God wanted me to do. I said in 2000 or something. This was 1995. I'll do this. I know that. And I wrote it out. Because a friend of mine told me that he had a book of all that God wanted to do in the body of Christ. Very big book. So me too, I wanted a book. So I wrote it. Very red diary like this. Have I told the experience before? Diary just got, I don't know whether I was stolen, missing, but it's so funny that the diary was in the bag, there was money, they didn't touch the money, they took the diary. Maybe it was an angel that stole it. And that's how it just came up. I've never, since that day, sat down to be writing plans. I just followed God. We're writing plans. By 12, we will have done this, we will have done. The truth of the matter is that you can achieve things, even if you write them down. And think it's God. Achievement is not a proof of obedience. At all. It's not a proof. Obedience is the proof of itself. Achievement is not that you eventually marry the guy. Does not mean that God wanted you to do it. That you eventually travel. That you eventually stay in that country. Doesn't make any difference. We see people obey God in scripture and they got into trouble. We see people disobey God and they will live they did lavishly. So it's not a proof. Achievement is not a proof of obedience. Are you following what I'm saying tonight? Thank you. Look at 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto you, Timothy, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Notice what he said. You have utterances concerning you. Then he says, you have to war a good warfare. So when it comes to direction, I have a responsibility. So whatever Paul said here, it demands clarification. Why? First and foremost, utterances are directions of the Spirit that pass through the human mind. They pass through the human mind. That's why Paul will call it prophecies. They exhort, edify, and comfort the church. 1 Corinthians 14:3. They pass through the mind. So, the nature of utterances demands clarification. When I give an utterance, or I have a revelation or a vision, it demands clarification. On its own. Don't forget, we spoke about tongues. And we said, in tongues, we have mysteries. Mysterion, remember that. Mysterion implies what? Knowledge, wisdom, and insight that are not disclosed to the mind. Are you following this? You said that last week. So it says, I now receive an utterance, whether it's through me or others, just like Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:14. I now receive an utterance. He says, I will need to now wage a good warfare. Now, look at that word warfare. The word warfare is stratuo in the Greek, S-T-R-A-T-E-U-O. You see it. I'll just quickly talk about where you find it.
2 Timothy 2:4. No man that worry entangled himself with the affairs of this life. 2 Corinthians 10:3. Though we walk in the flesh, we will not war after the flesh. Then James 1, the war amongst your members. 1 Peter 2:11, lost that war against the soul. So you have, where you see the word appetite, the word stratio, that means there is something, there are things that you battle with. And almost every time you see that word used, like I've quoted for you, it has to be with thoughts or emotions. 2 Corinthians 10:3. Thoughts and emotions. 2 Timothy 2:4. Same thing. James 4:1. And then 1 Peter 2:11. Passions. So, that means the warfare in prophecies or with prophecies deals with thoughts and ideas. That means I can interpret prophecies in the light of my own emotions, my lust, or my own appetite. So that's why he says, you will wage a good warfare. Good one. Which is a secondary word to this word is what stratia, S-T-R-A-T-E-I-A, is used for service. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, let's examine a parable that Jesus gave on warfare in Luke 14. I'll just quote it and you check it yourself. 31:32. It says, who goeth to a warfare and does not first of all sit down, then begins to count the cost. And he begins to say, how do I go about this? So when I have a prophecy, there is a warfare to it. And that warfare is primarily in my mind. That warfare is primarily in my thoughts. That's the first place. Power in my thoughts and in my mind. And it can affect my interpretation. So I must first clarify precisely what is this utterance talking about? Precisely. What is this utterance talking about? I've seen people, I'll tell you something. I've seen people who I believe they genuinely heard something. But it's in their thoughts. And they'll say, God said this. And you will know. And you know. But their interpretation will be very wrong. The kind of conclusion that they make. Or conclusions. Now let's take a typical example. Then we'll continue next week on that. The reason for this. Or this is probably the reason for the Spirit's witness. That's why I said when I started out. That you must recognize the Spirit. Precisely. Again, I said utterances will pass through where? The mind. That is, whether you are the one giving it, whether you are receiving it also, it comes to where? The mind. That's why Paul will say, Paul never asks us to judge tongues. But judge the things that are said in the interpretation. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 28 now. Never says you judge tongues. But you judge the interpretation of tongues. We'll see that next week, which is where I'll probably close. Now, look at this. Acts 20:22. Observe this. When utterances came to Paul, all the utterances in this instance, they came to say in 23, he says, the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So the utterances came because they will have revelation in them. That look, there's trouble. There's trouble. When those disciples stood in Acts 21, there's trouble. When Agabus also spoke, said there's trouble. But what bailed Paul out was verse 22. I go bound where? In the spirit. I go compelled. I'm held in the spirit to go this way. I go compelled. I think I showed you something last week. I don't know whether I mentioned it. That when he insisted on going, they now said, let the will of, I think I mentioned that. That what they meant was let a preferred will. Can you remember I said that last week? In the original. Thank you. So I don't have to go back to that. Now, look, this is something. He said, not knowing. That is, not knowing the things that will befall me. That is, I'm compelled. Yeah, I don't have the fact. But I'm compelled to go in this direction. Not knowing. Saying that the Holy Ghost witnesses, which is utterance. So, the utterances dealt with the facts. Okay, the events. But they were not clear cut as to the direction Paul should take. That is where the inward witness was his way out. I got bound. That is, I am compelled in my spirit to go to Jerusalem. Even though the utterances are all pointing to problems. So, as the utterances came, there's a good warfare I have to fight. You're like your thoughts, your emotions will come in. Well, it says, now the next thing he says, but none of those things move me. Neither count I my life down to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry that I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So 24 is a result of 22, not 23. He made a confession out of not knowing the things that are before me, but I'm compelled. I don't know if you were Paul. Are you saying that those stories did not come to your mind? Huh? But why was he able to pass through or go through? Because he had learned to follow the inward witness. He had learned what it is. If you are not someone that knows precisely the witness of the Spirit, those prophets just say, ah, thank you, brother. I'm really grateful. You know, and then you just set up your church in Antioch again. I'm back in Antioch. I'm back now. Or just start a TV ministry and say, we can reach Jerusalem, we can reach Rome through the internet. Not knowing. Save the Holy Ghost witness every city. Yet he was compelled. Look at something. Acts 27. How our perception can be wrong. Verse 10. Paul admonished them in 9. He said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with odds and more damage. Let me quickly say this. And I'll mention this without equivocation. Whenever you have, I remember my dad, and there was this guy. He was related to my mom by ministry wise. Every time he came around to my father, he's always having a prophecy that something is going to go wrong. Something will happen. One day my father confronted him, but I've shared this before. Hey, this crazy prophet. So why are you always being, does your God not tell you anything good about me? Guys, so let me tell you, I'm not afraid to die. Tell your God that. Those younger than me have died. Those older than me have died. My mates have died. So don't bring prophecy of death here again. The next time I hear from me, I'm going to burn you down. Somehow the guy changed his prophecy. Now that looks like a joke, but it's true. Be careful of people. Who always, when they come around you, something is going to go wrong. I sense. I do this. Ah, oh God, come here now. Is this all you see? And it's not even nice. Let me say this. Except you are instructed, when you see something negative about a brother or a sister, go and pray. Telling the person is to instigate fear and manipulate them. Just pray. That's not for you. See, what I just pray. If there is now a need to give an instruction, fine. You know, I remember what was myself, Pastor Fugue and another sister, went to see his sister, and I said, this is going to happen to this sister. I said, I saw her. I said, you know what? And we didn't tell her. So we're just going to pray about it. So we're not going to tell her. So when she was going to tell us, she said, she now told us that she was in labor for 2 weeks. She was in a coma. And I said, I saw that when I saw her. I said, let's pray. Sometimes telling her will make the thing come to pass. Are you following what I'm saying? Just pray. I'm going to tell you, this is Simon Peter. Sometimes I said, what are you going to do about it? Simon, Satan is at the city of you. What are you going to do about it? See your life. Pray, oh, say, I have prayed for you. Hallelujah. Not go and pray. 40 days die fast. That was just for what is the big deal? It means just to deny you. So I perceive, okay, that this voyage will be hurt. And more damage, not only of the laden and sheep, but also of our lives. You know, he was not yet in Rome. But experiences have made Paul start perceiving other things. That, it appears like these prophecies are coming to pass. You know, he heard Ezra was going to go to Rome. But this way, he was not in Rome. And he was already saying, we are going to all die. Are you getting this? He was perceiving something. But his emotions got to his interpretation. You know what? You know that what Paul said is an utterance. Are you aware? Come, are you aware? You know Paul spoke by the Spirit. But not precisely. Exactly what those folks told him, what he did. They told him by the Spirit not to go. So don't think that the Spirit there means that is the Holy Ghost. Mm-mm. It is via their interpretation. The interpretation they had was, don't go. The interpretation Paul gave to the witness here, obviously he had a witness something was going to go wrong. And he said that we will all die. None of us will leave. But you know, later on, he got it clarified. So, there were two things in Acts 20:10. There was revelation and utterance. Not different from Acts 21:5. So, in 22, be of good cheer. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the sheep. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, as be of good cheer, for I believe God, that shall be even as it was. So you know, like Brother Hagin will say, it's better to be a bit slow than to be fast. Let me ask you, was it possible, as he said that, as many people believe in his ministry so much, said, this ship shall be destroyed, nobody will be left. Nobody start jumping into the water. You know it's very possible? You know it's very possible? Said, apparently, he sensed danger, but interpretation was wrong. The danger was only of the sheep and in the goods, but not the lives. So, whose responsibility was to ensure that that came to pass? Huh? Who? God or Paul? Paul. Because I have given their lives to you. So, Paul had to now speak to them. So, you can see two seeming contradictory utterances. One says we will die, one says no, we will not. So, he now had the responsibility to give direction to the entire ship. So, you
are responsible for your perception. What did I say? So that perception, I'll close here. That perception is where? Is where? In your mind. Was that clear to you about Paul? Where did Paul get it wrong? In the spirit or in his mind? But what he said, was it by the spirit? Yes. Do you understand? That's a very simple APC. It's only by the spirit. It's utterance. Okay? Are you there? It's utterance. So, we must seek further clarification. That's why I always say this. There are some things you don't jump into. Some things that you can still perceive wrongly when it comes to whereas you now finally become a Leicester fan or remain with Chelsea. That's still appreciable. But when you start talking about leaving your country, leave elsewhere, and you just follow Facebook posts, calm down. You know, there are so many believers who in their hearts, they live in guilt and condemnation for years because they know they are not doing what God wants them to do. They have the money, they have resources, but they know. And until they change their direction, that's how they are going to be in eternity. Eternity is not a realm that you will not be a participant. No. No. Jesus said that, Paul said that, the man who has nothing in eternity, save his salvation, will suffer loss. A very strong Greek word. He will suffer loss. Hallelujah. That one is, will suffer loss. There are people like that. They just try and do everything. I know five folks who are supposed to be in the work of ministry and they now go into politics and now they now be justifying that after all. And they know they live in condemnation. And something about condemnation is that you move from one wrong thing to the next thing. Amen. So, in closing, ensure that you handle your perceptions with care. And that's where the inward witness comes to you. Learn to know the inward witness, even when there is no decision to make. Learn to recognize how the spirit, the born again spirit, reacts to things, how it speaks, how it puts out information before you have a major thing to do. It's important. Hallelujah. We'll check that next week. God blesses you. Let's close our eyes to God, friends. Father, we thank you.